إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue with our discussion of the essay of Al-Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Nasr al-Sa'di rahimahullah, entitled Shajaratul Iman, Tawdih wal Bayan li Shajaratul Iman, and the clarification and explanation of the tree of faith, the tree of Iman, based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ibrahim, Alam tara kayfa daraballahu mathalan kalimatan tayyibatan ka shajaratin tayyiba. Do you not see, or have you not considered, how Allah has made an example or a parable of a good word that is like a good tree? And here the Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah has mentioned three areas of discussion related to Shajaratul Iman, or the tree of Iman. That is the first section dealing with the definition and explanation of al-Iman, and the second, its component parts, yani the essential parts of al-Iman and that which it is derived from, and the third section dealing with the fruits or the benefits of al-Iman. This evening we would like to continue with that which remains of the ayat of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the first section, the definition and explanation of al-Iman. What has preceded is the author's definition of Iman and the mention of what some of the scholars of the people of Sunnah have mentioned concerning the definition of Iman. And that is followed by a number of ayats of the Quran and Hadith which the Shaykh rahimahullah has used to clarify and to explain fully the definition of Al-Iman. This evening we would like to begin with the verses that the Shaykh has mentioned from Surah Al-Mu'minun, verses 1 through 11. The verses of the chapter entitled Al-Mu'minun, the believers. And in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that the Mu'minun are those who are successful. And then he gave a description of the Mu'minun. Who is the Mu'min that he is talking about that is successful? And he mentioned a number of sifat or characteristics of the believers. And the Shaykh mentions or makes some comments concerning these verses. And perhaps we will also mention some comments from some of the books of Tafsir that further clarify the meaning of these verses. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون قد أفلح المؤمنون. That indeed, definitely, the mu'minun, they are successful. يعني meaning, those mu'minun who are described with the characteristics that follow in these verses, then they are the successful. Meaning, the successful in front of Allah, those who will earn His reward, Al-Jannah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Who are they? They are those who have khashya, al-khushu'a in their salat, they display al-khushu'. Yani al-khushu', as some of the scholars of tafsir said, it means humility and submissiveness. And some said it means stillness and the absence of movement or playing. In the salat, the person should be calm, still, in a humble state of submission, because they are standing in front of the Lord of the world. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And these ayats begin the first description dealing with salat. What is the condition of the mu'min when he is in salat? And the last of them also deals with salat. How the mu'min, يعني, performs his salat and how he guards it and protects it and attends to it. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. And they are also, the mu'minun, they are also described as those who turn away from and are not inclined towards al-lagwi. Al-lagwi, the scholar said, it is everything that is false, whether it is play or amusement or sin or whatever of speech and actions is not praiseworthy. Yani every useless, vain talk or speech, whether lying or corruption or whatever, all of this is lagwu, every action or speech that is not praiseworthy, that is not of any benefit, whether it is sin or whether it is from that which is not necessarily sinful, but there is no benefit in it. The believers are those who turn away from al-lagu. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. And they are also those who pay the zakat. And some of the scholars of tafsir said that the zakat here, it means the voluntary charity, as sadaqat means the voluntary charity, and whatever the Muslim spends in the way of Allah for the pleasure of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And they are also of those who guard and protect their private parts. They guard their chastity. They avoid engaging in any kind of illegal or blameworthy sexual relations or sexual activity. They guard their chastity. They avoid engaging in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Yani they keep themselves pure and chaste, and they do not enter into that which is unlawful. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. Except that which they engage in with their wives, or that which their right hands possess, that is the slaves or the captives of war. In that case, engaging in relations with one's wife, or that which is lawful with one's slaves, then this is something of which it is, there is no blame on them. They are free of blame concerning this. That is, they guard their chastity, they don't engage in any kind of sexual relations that are unlawful, and the exception from this is that which is lawful, whether it is their wives or the right hand possess, the captives of war. فَمَنِ بَتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. And what is beyond that? Who goes beyond that which Allah has allowed? فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Then they are the transgressors. They are those who have gone beyond the bounds. They have transgressed the bounds of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set as being lawful. Then he says also of the characteristics of the mu'minun, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَهْدِهِمْ رَعُونَ. And they are those who guard and protect and preserve and give care to their amanat, the trust that are given to them, and the ahd, the covenants that they make. And Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of the Qur'an, he said that the amanat are those things that a person is entrusted with, which there is no proof, or there is no way to confirm that they have been given it. Their only confirmation that they have been given that trust is the witness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the believers are those who, when they are given, they are entrusted with something, even though the one who has entrusted them with it has no proof that they have given it to them. But Allah is the witness. Therefore the believer, he fulfills that trust because he believes in Allah. He knows that Allah knows and that Allah sees. As for the ahd, the covenant, it is any agreement that the believer has made, whether it is in the matters related to Allah or the matters that are strictly between the human beings, the servants of Allah, the covenant, the agreement, contracts that one makes, the believer is of those who fulfills his agreements and keeps his contracts. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَحْدِهِمْ رَعُونَ. Their amanat, their trust, and their ahd, their covenant, they protect it, they guard it, they fulfill it. And finally he says, the last characteristic that he mentions of the believers is also related to as-salat, showing the importance of salat, that he began with the salat and he ended with the salat, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. And in reference to their salawat, the obligatory prayers, the five congregational compulsory obligatory prayers, they guard them in their fixed times, filling the requirements of those prayers, and perfectly performing the ruku and the sujood and the qira'at al-Qur'an and the adhkar that are mentioned in the sharia, that have been legislated in the sunnah, they guard their salat, the performance of their salat in its time and the way that it is performed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning the mu'minun, who he said are the successful, and he described them with these characteristics of having submissiveness and humility in their salat, and avoiding al-laghu, all yani useless things, whether speech or action, and fulfilling or paying the zakat or giving in charity, and guarding their modesty, and fulfilling the trust that are giving to them and the covenants that they have made, and as well guarding their salat in its performance. He said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. These are the warithun, the inheritors, those who deserve to inherit that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has offered to the true believers. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. These are the inheritors, those who will inherit al-firdaus, the highest place in paradise. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They will remain in it forever. Yani, they will achieve the reward of Allah and it will be forever. They will not die in it. And they will not be removed from it. They will stay in it eternally and they will live in it eternally. That means it is for them as a permanent reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, he says, his comment concerning these verses, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined or explained al-Iman in these verses with all of these characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has defined it. فَصَّرَ اللَّهُ الْإِيمَانِ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ بِجَمِيعَ هَذِهِ الْخِصَالِ. Yani these characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in these verses, this is the definition or the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given for al-Iman. He has informed us that those who are, that the successful believers, yani that those who will be successful are the believers, they are those who are described with that which he has said in these words, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, to the end of those verses which have been mentioned. The Shaykh says, rahimahullah, that whoever fulfills all of these characteristics, and yani whoever completes the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in these verses, then this one is the mu'min haqqan. He is the true believer. The one who fulfills these characteristics, فَهُوَ الْمُؤْمِنْ حَقًّا. And what it entails, these characteristics, what they entail, the Shaykh says, it is al-qiyam bil-wajibat, al-zahira wal-batina, wa-ijtinab al-muharramat wal-makruhat. Yani what this entails, it is fulfilling the obligatory duties, the outward as well as inner. Yani the outward duties as well as that which is required of the heart. Fulfilling all of the duties, whether they are outward action or that which is required of the heart, and avoiding al-muharramat, that which is haram, as well as al-makruhat, that which is hated or detested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Avoiding that which Allah has outright prohibited, as well as avoiding those things which Allah detests, even if it is not totally forbidden. He says that when they complete this iman, and when they complete these characteristics, having the true iman, then they are entitled to inherit Jannat al-Firdaus, the gardens of Firdaus, which is the highest, yani of the gardens, the highest of the gardens in paradise, just as they have fulfilled the highest of the duties, yani the obligatory duties, as well as those things which are mustahab or commendable or praiseworthy, just as they have done those things which is above and beyond what is the minimum requirement. They have gone beyond that. They have gone above and beyond that. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the reward of the highest place in paradise. Here the Shaykh says, rahimahullah, that this is clear. This is clear in confirming the fact that al-Iman includes aqaid, al-deen, the tenets of faith, what a person is required to believe in, wa akhlaquhu, the morals and manners, as well as the inner, the outward and the inner actions. Yani the outward actions, meaning the actions of the body parts, and the inner actions, meaning that which is required of the heart, yani modesty and love, hope and fear and so on. And he said that this ayat is very clear in confirming that the fact that Iman includes all of this, the tenets that one is required to believe in, as well as the morals that one is required to observe, and the actions inwardly and outwardly that a Muslim is expected to fulfill. And based on this, we can say then that Iman increases with the increase of these characteristics. If a person has more of these characteristics, then his Iman is more. Because the characteristics of Iman are many. So whoever has more of them, then that person's Iman will be increased with the increase in these characteristics and the realization of these characteristics. And he realizing them in their life. Likewise, the Iman will be decreased with the decrease in these characteristics, which Allah has explained as being the characteristics of Iman. Then the Shaykh says that the people differ in the excellence or completeness or perfection of Iman. They are darajat, degrees. They are not all the same. People are not all the same in Iman. This is very clear. It's absolutely clear that the Iman of the Prophet is not like the Iman of the common people, their followers. You cannot say that the followers of the Prophet, their Iman is like the Prophet. The Iman of Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, the dust of humanity after the Prophet, the Iman is not like the Iman of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, the Iman of the other companions is not like the Iman of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the Iman of the people who came later until today is not like the people who came before. Therefore, the Iman of an individual or the Iman of the people differs in excellence, in perfection and completeness in accordance with the difference in the completeness of these descriptions of Iman in that person, or these characteristics of Iman in that person. For this reason, the Shaykh says, فَلِهَذَا كَانُوا ثَلَاثَ دَرَجَاتِ. For this reason, there are three darajat, or three levels of the people of Iman, the Ahlul Iman, the Mu'minun. There are three levels. The first of them is سَابِقُونَ مُقَرُّونَ. Those who are foremost and who are nearest to Allah. Foremost in doing good deeds and getting near to Allah. And he said, these are those who perform the wajibat, obligatory duties, as well as the mustahibat, the commendable, praiseworthy, loved acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved and that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved. They perform the wajibat as well as the mustahibat. And they avoid and they abandon the muharramat, prohibited things, as well as the makruhat, those which are detestable. They avoid that which is prohibited, and they avoid that which is not prohibited. But if it is detestable, it is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second level is muqtasidun, muqtasidun. And they are those who fulfill the obligatory duties, the wajibat, and they avoid the prohibited things, the muharramat. That's all. They are muqtasidun. Yani they restrict themselves to that which is obligatory. Not going beyond that. That is what is required, that's what I do. And they avoid the haram things. Yani it is haram, I will avoid it. As for makruh, it is not haram. So they restrict themselves to this. Therefore, they are the second level, a lesser level than those who are foremost. The third degree, it is qalimun li anfusihim. Those who transgress or do wrong to their own selves. And these are those who abandon some of the obligatory duties of Iman. They abandon some of them. They don't fulfill all the obligatory duties. And they engage in some of the prohibited things. Those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram. They engage in some of them. Not in all of them, but they engage in some of them. Then the Shaykh, rahimahullah, mentions that which confirms this point, that the believers are in degrees, And he says, this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his saying in Surah Al-Fatir, chapter 35, verse 32. ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. Here, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Then we have given as inheritance, as some of the scholars of tafsir said, that Allah has decreed in His qadr and qada, He has decreed that there are some people who He has chosen, الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا, those who we have chosen, مِنْ عِبَادِنَا, from our servants, and some of the scholars of tafsir, that it means the companions, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the believers who believe in His message, that Allah has chosen them to inherit al-kitab, the book, al-Qur'an. They have been selected and chosen specially to inherit this book, which is a special book. And whoever has been given it, that which has been revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they are honored above the rest of humanity. ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا. From amongst them, they are ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. After they have been given this book, some of them have wronged their own selves. And if they have fallen short in it, they have engaged in some of the prohibited things that Allah has made clear in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And they have failed to perform some of the obligatory duties that are the minimum required thing. فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. And some of them are those who are taking the middle course. يعني those who, they didn't engage in any of the haram and they didn't يعني go beyond the obligatory duties. They have stuck to fulfilling obligatory things and avoiding the prohibited things. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And from amongst them, they are those who are foremost بِالْخَيْرَاتِ, in engaging in the good deeds and doing the things that are considered as ibadat, that are considered as obedience to Allah, the things that are pleasing to Allah, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the permission of Allah. And here, it becomes clear in this verse that those who are the سابقون, it is بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, it is by Allah's permission, and it is the fadl of Allah. And nobody who is from amongst the سابقون, if they see themselves yani surpassing others and excelling others, don't imagine that it is from yourself. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, it is by the permission of Allah. بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ, by the favor of Allah. Those who are the سابقون, it is by the favor of Allah. And the سابقون, they know it is by the favor of Allah, and they acknowledge and they know that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. Yani this then, that, yani those who have been given the book, who have inherited the book, and those who are the foremost in doing of good deeds, then these are those who have been given al-fadl al-kabir, yani the great favor, the great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the Shaykh talks about a new topic, and it is a topic of controversy. And it is misunderstood by many people today as it was misunderstood in the past, and it is one of the fundamental mistakes of the people who deviated in Iman, the Murji'ah. It's one of the fundamental mistakes that they have made in misunderstanding the verses in the Qur'an which mention Al-Iman and Amal al-Salih. And therefore, as because they have misunderstood it and they have taken Iman to be one thing and righteous deeds to be another thing, separate from Iman, they said these are not part of Iman. They said these are not part of Iman. But they said that Iman is the conviction in the heart, or the knowledge that one has of the reality of Allah, that Allah is the Creator, and that Allah exists, that is Iman. And some of them said, Iman is not only that which is in the heart, but it is also the confession, saying, yani saying, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. As for actions, they said it is not a part of Iman, and some of them, yani came to this conclusion, based on the innumerable verses in the Qur'an that mention Al-Iman and Amal al-Salih, righteous deeds, as though they are two separate things. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in his book Kitab al-Iman has discussed this issue in a number of places, and in one place he discussed it in detail and he gave a number of proofs showing that when two things are mentioned connected together by a conjunction, by the conjunction in Arabic, wow, this and that, it doesn't mean that they are separate entities. It is not necessarily so. In some cases it is, but not in every case. And they have understood that it is in every case and it is not. In Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah given a number of examples showing clearly that it is not as they have imagined. The Shaykh says here at this point that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قد يعزف الله على الإيمان الأعمال الصالحات أو التقوى أو الصبر. يعني that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join with al-Iman, following it, something connecting it by the conjunction wow and sometimes he will join to it al-amal al-saliha, righteous deeds, or al-taqwa, piety, or al-sabr, patience. And this, he said, it is because for a need to mention the ma'atuf, yani to mention that which Allah is joining to Iman, he wants to mention it for some reason. And here the Shaykh says, as Shaykh Usama ibn Taymiyyah said in Kitab al-Iman, لِأَلَّا يَظُنُّ أَذْقَانُ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يُقْتَفَى فِيهِ بِمَبْلِ. Yani he did this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done so, so that a person might not imagine that it is sufficient, that conviction that they have in the heart, it is sufficient. And they don't need actions, they don't need righteous deeds. A person might imagine that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make it clear that Iman is not only the conviction in the heart, it's not sufficient, but you also have to have righteous deeds. And for that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many verses in the Quran, mentions al-Iman, and then he joins to it that which follows it, which is a part of Iman, whether it is a taqwa, or whether it is a sabr, or whether it is that which is most common, al-amal al-salihat, righteous deeds. So the Shaykh says that sometimes Allah does this, and he does it for a need to mention that thing which is joined to al-Iman, so that, especially since it is an essential part of Iman, so that no one would think that that which they have in their heart, the conviction which they have in their heart, that it is sufficient. The Shaykh says, and how many times in the Quran we find the saying of Allah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that verily those who believe and do good deeds. Then Allah mentions something about them. Yani those who believe and do good deeds, and then He mentions something about them. The Shaykh says, righteous deeds are a part, a component, essential part of Iman. They are of the essentials of Iman, lawazim al-Iman. If they are not present, you don't have Iman. And they are the things, the righteous deeds. It is that through which al-Iman is realized. It is realized through performing the righteous deeds that are required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the one who claims al-Iman. Therefore the Shaykh says, whoever claims that he is a believer and he doesn't do the deeds which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have ordered from the wajibat, whoever claims that he is a mu'min and then he doesn't do those things that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have ordered him with of the wajibat, obligatory duties, and avoiding the muharramat, the forbidden things, فَلَيْسَ بِصَادِقٍ فِي إِمَانِهِ, then indeed he is not truthful in his claim to Iman. He is not true Iman. Whoever claims that he is a believer, while he doesn't fulfill the obligatory duties, not to mention the mustahab things, but the obligatory duties, that is the minimum, and he doesn't avoid the prohibited things, then he is not truthful in his Iman. That doesn't mean that if a person engages in a sin or he failed to perform an obligatory duty, he has fallen short in his Iman. But the one who doesn't do these things, who claims that it's not required to fulfill the obligatory duties and to avoid the prohibited things, this person indeed doesn't have Iman. And before going on to what the Shaykh has mentioned after this, I want to mention some of the examples that Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah has given because of the confusion that exists in the minds of some people concerning this matter, because rationally it makes sense that if Allah said إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, it means that those who believe and then do something else, and do good deeds, as though they are two different things, it sounds rational that Iman and righteous deeds are two separate things. However, in the Arabic language, as well as in English, but it is clear in Arabic and it is in the Quran in innumerable places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins by conjunction, by wow, that which is general. And after it, He mentions those things which are part of it, which are clearly a part of it, and nobody can deny it. And we cannot say that this is one thing and that which follows is something separate, but indeed it is a part of it. And from the examples that Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah has given, the ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 98, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَائِيلَ, and whoever is the enemy of Allah and His angels, and his messengers, wa Jibreel wa Mikael, whoever is the enemy of Allah and his angels and his messengers, and Jibreel and Mikael. And Jibreel and Mikael are from the Malaika. So what is the meaning of this ayah? The enemy of Allah, Malaikati, and his angels, wa Rusulihi, and Jibreel. Jibreel is also mentioned when he said, whoever is the enemy of Allah and his angels. Jibreel is from the angels. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Jibreel and Mikael specifically because of some reference, special reference for them, so that it is clear that when he said the angels, definitely it also includes Jibreel and Mikael. Don't think it doesn't include them, they are included in it. And they are already mentioned in the general mention of the Malaika. Likewise, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 7, وَإِذَا قَضْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. Yani, and when we took from the Prophet and Nabiyeen, their covenant from the Prophets. Does the Prophets include Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Musa and Isa and Ibrahim? Of course it includes them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Nabiyeen, and then he adds to that, وَمِنْكَ, and from you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is also already included when he said, مِنْ النَّبِيِّينَ, and from Noah and Abraham and Musa and Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. Likewise, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Muhammad, chapter 47, verse 2, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. That those who believe and do good deeds, and who believe in what has been revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and indeed it is the truth from their Lord. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. Those who believe, it already includes those who believe in what has been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, he mentioned it specifically for a reason, so that no one would imagine that their claim to iman doesn't require that they also believe in what has been revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While it is already included in iman, whoever doesn't believe in what has been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they don't have iman. However, Allah mentioned it, singled it out for mention by the conjunction wow, and for a reason to make it clear, if anyone would imagine that they have iman like the Christians or the Jews, while they don't believe in what has been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another example that he gave is in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 238, حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى. Protect and preserve the salawat and the salat al-wusta, al-asr. Yani, salat al-wusta is not from the salawat, it is from the salawat, but Allah has singled it out by mentioning it, joined by the conjunction, wow. No one should imagine that it means that the salawat is one thing and the salat al-wusta is something else. Salat al-wusta is from the salawat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat makes it clear that you must guard the salawat, all of them, and the salat al-wusta, the middle prayer. And that is for emphasis on this matter and to make it clear that it is included from amongst them. And the examples that Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah has given are many. He has not mentioned a number of other examples, and for the sake of time will suffice with what we have said. From this it should be clear then that the mention of something which is general, followed by that which is a part of it, which is a part of it, but it is joined by the conjunction, while it doesn't mean that these things are necessarily two different things. And that is the case with the verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمَنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who believe and do good deeds. It doesn't mean that the good deeds are not a part of iman. Indeed, they are an essential part of iman, and there is no iman without them. Then the Shaykh says, after this, he gives an example. Shaykh Abdurrahman Sa'adi, rahimahullah, he says, this joining together of iman with the taqwa or sabr or other things, or amal saliha, he said that this is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he has joined together al-iman with al-taqwa. Al-taqwa is a part of iman, there is no doubt about it. Taqwa, avoiding that which Allah has prohibited and fulfilling that which Allah has commanded, it is a part of iman. There is no doubt about it. It is an essential part of iman. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned them as though one might imagine that they are two separate things. But to clarify that iman, it will not be real iman unless it includes this aspect of iman which is mentioned separately, that is taqwa. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus chapter 10, verses 62 and 63, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. Those who believe and they used to have taqwa, fear of Allah. Indeed, verily, the awliya of Allah, لا خوف عليهم. They will not have any fear. ولا هم يحزنون. And they will not grieve. And they are those who, الذين آمنوا, who believe, وكانوا يتقون, and who used to have taqwa, yani those who were the pious, those who fulfilled Allah's commands and avoided His prohibitions. Some of the scholars, like Al-Imam al-Shawkani, said the awliya of Allah are the purest of the believers, yani those who are near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to their fulfilling His commands, doing the acts of obedience to Him and avoiding disobedience to Him. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. They would not have any fear. It means they would not have any fear at the time of the resurrection and the gathering together the people for judgment, at the time of the standing on Qiyamah, when the people will be standing waiting the judgment. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed them that they would not experience the fear of that day, the awliya of Allah. They would not experience the horrors and the fright of that day. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And they would not grieve, meaning they would not grieve over that which has passed them by in this world. And they would not grieve over that which they have left behind in this world, whether it is their children or their relatives or their wealth or their property, they would not grieve over it. Like the people who love the dunya grieve when they leave this world, they fear. And it was grief for them that they would leave behind something in this world. But the believers, the awliya of Allah, those who have iman and taqwa, they don't grieve over that which they have left behind, because they know that Allah has something better than that which is ahead of them. Here, the Shaykh says concerning this verse, that is Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned al-iman al-shamil lima fil qulub min al-aqa'id wal-iradat al-tayyibah wal-amal al-salihah. Here Allah had mentioned the iman which is all-encompassing, that which is in the heart from the aqa'id, beliefs and tenets of belief, wal-iradat al-tayyibah, yani the desires or the goodwill that somebody has to do goodwill, as well as the righteous deeds. This iman includes all of that. And he said that the mu'min, he will not complete this. Yani this all-encompassing iman, this comprehensive iman that includes what is in the heart as well as the good intentions and good desires and righteous deeds. The mu'min will not complete this unless he has taqwa, unless he avoids that which earns the displeasure of Allah, whether it is kufr, disbelief, or fusuq, disobedience, or corruption, or wrongdoing, or immorality, or atiyan, disobedience to Allah. All of these things, kufr and fisq and ma'asiyah, all of these things are the things that earn the pleasure of Allah, and the believer would not complete this iman unless he avoids those things which earn the displeasure of Allah. And this is understood, is achieved, yani this iman is achieved from that which is mentioned in the words of Allah, yani الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Yani those who believe the iman will be perfected and it will be realized if they are of those who كَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. They had taqwa, yani those who had taqwa. Here, related to this, the Shaykh has not mentioned it in the text of the book, but the hadith, Azhab, the statement from one of the tabi'een, which is related to this point of taqwa, and it is very beautiful. And many of the scholars have mentioned it. I remember Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in a lecture that he gave concerning da'wah, he mentioned this asr about the taqwa, the need that the du'a, the people who call to Allah, one of their characteristics that they must have is taqwa. And in that point, when he was discussing it, he mentioned this asr from the tabi'i, the famous tabi'i, rahimahullah, Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah, when he was asked about at-taqwa, he said, at-taqwa, he said, is أن تعمل بطاعة الله. That a person does that which is in obedience to Allah. That which is طاعة الله, obedience to Allah, على نور من الله, on a light from Allah. Yani based on iman, having iman. They do that which is obedience to Allah based on the light which comes from Allah, that is the iman that is in their heart. Because it is iman that causes the person to do good deeds. تَرْجُوا ثَوَابَ اللَّهِ And they have hope for the reward of Allah. يعني التقوى, he said, it is doing acts of obedience to Allah based on or rooted in the light from Allah, al-Iman, hoping for a reward, hoping for the reward of Allah. يعني it starts with Iman and its objective is to achieve the reward of Allah. And then he said, وَأَن تَتْرُكَ مَعَثِيَةِ اللَّهِ أَوْ مَعَثِيَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَخَافُ إِقَابَ اللَّهِ And the other part of the taqwa, it is avoiding disobedience to Allah based on a light from Allah, Iman. يعني avoiding disobedience to Allah because of one's Iman. That's what Iman requires of the believer, to obey Him and to avoid disobedience to Him. تَخَافَ إِقَابَ اللَّهِ Fearing the punishment of Allah. يعني the person avoids that which is evil because of their Iman. And the objective of avoiding that evil, it is to avoid the punishment of Allah. This author from the Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah, it was narrated by Ibn al-Mubarak in his book Al-Zuhr and Abu Nu'aym and Hilya, and Ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf, and other scholars have mentioned it, and the isnad or the chain of narration is sahih. Al-Hafiz Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, the great student of Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, mentioning this author from Talq ibn Habib, he made some comments in his book Al-Risala al-Tabuqiyyah. He said concerning this saying of Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah, he said that this is one of the best yani definitions of what has been said concerning the definition of taqwa. It is from the best of what has been said concerning the definition of a taqwa. For indeed, every action requires of necessity, mabda'a wa ghaya. Must have something that it is based upon, that it starts from, and an objective that it intends to achieve. Every action must have such. So no action will be ta'a, obedience to Allah, or qurba, an act of worship, until its source or its base is from al-Iman. And if somebody does a good deed, that which appears to be good, but it's not because they believe in Allah, it will not be the same. It has to have at its base al-Iman. For Iman, it is the thing that causes the person to do this. Yani it is pure Iman that causes the person to do a good deed. It is not just through habit, or it is not just through his desires. If it is a good deed or an act of worship, that would be accepted by Allah. If it is going to be accepted by Allah, it shouldn't be for some other reason, just for show or to achieve the reward of the people. But it must of necessity have as its base pure Iman. As for the objective or the goal that would be achieved by it, it is the reward of Allah. Yani seeking the pleasure of Allah. And that is what is called al-ihtisab. Al-ihtisab. Yani that a person does a good deed hoping for a reward from Allah. This is from Islam. That when a Muslim does a good deed, when a mu'min does a good deed, he should have ihtisab. And Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymi said, yani that, rahimahullah, that a Muslim should be careful that when they do a good deed, that they should have consciousness in their mind that they are doing it hoping for Allah's reward. Don't be in ghafla. Don't just do things out of habit, automatic. Like you wake up in the morning and you get up and you go to the bathroom automatic without thinking about it. Or you get in your car and you drive home, driving down the streets, going straight to some place you really mean to be going somewhere else, but without thinking you go home. No, when you do good deeds, you have to be thinking that I am doing this for the sake of Allah and for the reward of Allah. And this is ihtisab. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, he says that the ghaya or the objective, it is seeking the reward of Allah. And this is al-ihtisab. And he said, for this reason, so many times, these two fundamental principles have been joined together. That is al-Iman and ihtisab in the sayings of the Prophet ﷺ. Like it's saying, من صام رمضانًا Iman and wahtisaban. Whoever fasted Ramadan with Iman, yani based on Iman, wahtisaban, hoping for the reward of Allah. وَمَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ وَمَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةُ قَضَى Iman and wahtisaban. Iman, doing it from the Iman, faith in Allah, and hoping for the reward of Allah. He said that so many places, it is mentioned like this in the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a person should, the base of the action should be the Iman, and the objective or the goal, it should be earning the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said that the meaning of the statement of the of Talqa ibn Habib, ala nurun min Allah, that it is, yani that a person does an act of ta'a, ala nurun min Allah, this is an ishara or an indication of pointing to the first principle, that is iman, and it is the source or the cause of a person doing good deeds. And as for his statement, tarju thawab Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah, this is pointing to the second principle, that is an ihtisab, and that is the objective for which a person does that action. That is what he intends when he does that action, yani to earn the reward of Allah. Then al-Imam al-Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah mentions another evidence, yani that is part of this section of the definition and explanation of al-Iman. He said this is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described, the best of his creation, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, know that amongst you is the Messenger of Allah. لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْعَمْرِ لَعَنِدْتُمْ, if he were to obey you in many matters, you would find yourself in hardship. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَقَرَّحَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made al-Iman beloved in your hearts. He has made your hearts to love Iman. That is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has made Iman something that you love, something that is yani attractive to you. And He says, وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, and He has made it, He has beautified al-Iman in your hearts. He has made it something attractive in your hearts. وَزَيَّنَهُ, thing that you have aversion for it. In your hearts He has made you to have aversion for al-kufr, disbelief, and al-fusuq, wickedness or corruption and evil, wal-isyan, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made yani kufr, and He has made wickedness and disobedience to Allah something that is hateful, it is detestable. You have aversion to it in your heart, subhanallah. This shows that al-iman, it means that it requires that also the true iman means that a person loves doing of good and they hate the doing of evil. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ, these are those who are rightly guided, those who are following the correct way. Yani those who have love for iman and hatred for kufr and disobedience and evil and wickedness, فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمًا, this is indeed a favor and a bounty from Allah. فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ, this is a fadl from Allah. This is grace and His favor. وَنِعْمًا, this is a bounty from Allah. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ, and Allah is all-knowing and He is all-wise. The Shaykh says concerning this verse that this is the greatest ni'mah, the greatest favor, that Allah makes iman something beloved to His servant. This is the greatest ni'mah. And Allah beautifies iman in his heart. And he causes that person to taste the sweetness of iman, and for their body parts, their limbs, to surrender to the fulfilling of doing the deeds which are in the Islamic law. And He makes them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them to hate all types of prohibited things. And Allah is Alim, He is the one who knows who has more right that He give them His favor and His bounty. Allah knows who to give His favor and His bounty to. The one who He makes to love Iman, it is the one who has the right to it. Allah knows who is most deserving of it, who would appreciate it. And He is Hakim in putting that love for Iman and hatred for Kufr in the place that is appropriate, yani where it would be appreciated, where there would be some benefit from it. Then the Shaykh mentions the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which is Sahih, and he related to al-Iman and the halawat al-Iman, the sweetness of Iman, that which is confirmed, kama thabata fi Sahih, as it has been confirmed in the Sahih, here he means al-Bukhari, and a similar narration, though the wording is slightly different, is also reported in the Sahih of Muslim, from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, أنه قال ثلاثٌ من كن فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان, and that there are three things, three qualities or characteristics, whoever possessed them, then that person will have found, he will have found or achieved halawat al-iman, the sweetness of iman. And what more could a believer want than to taste the sweetness of iman? He says there are three characteristics. Whoever has them, he has tasted the sweetness of iman. The first of them, أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. The first of them is that Allah and His Messenger وسلم, is more beloved to that person than anything else. مما سواهما, than anything besides them. Allah and His Messenger is more beloved to you than anything and everything and everyone other than them. This is the first quality. Whoever has it, he will taste the sweetness of iman. وأن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله. And that he loves someone, and he loves a believer, a mu'min, a Muslim, and he doesn't love him for any reason except for the sake of Allah. لا يحبه إلا لله. He doesn't love him because he is getting something from him, or it is, if he, you know, he will get some benefit. No, he loves him solely, singly, exclusively for the sake of Allah alone. And the third of them, وأن يكره أن يرجع عن دينه. Or as it is reported in the Sahih Muslim, وَأَنْ يَقْرَأَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. Yani that is the narration of Muslim, yani that he hates that he should return to al-kufr after Allah has saved him from it. After Allah has saved him from it, he hates to return to kufr. And in the narration of Shaykh has mentioned here that he hates to turn back from his deen, yani go away from Islam. Same meaning. Just as كَمَا يَقْرَهُ أَيْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. Yani he hates to turn away from his deen or to go back to kufr. Yani these two narrations, perhaps Allahu A'lam, could be applicable to those who turn back from his deen, meaning those who were from amongst the Muslims originally, and then he turns back from his deen. And the other one might be more applicable to those يَعُودُ فِي الْكُفْرِ, goes back to kufr. Yani a person who was a kafir and he came to Islam, then he hates to go back to kufr after Allah has saved him from it, just as he hates to be thrown into the fire. Just as he hates to be thrown into the fire. So here it has been mentioned, aslul iman. Yani the foundation or the essence of iman, and that is mahabbatullah wa rasulihi. Mahabbatullah wa rasulihi. Yani it is loving Allah and His Messenger. That is the asl of iman, and that is the first thing, loving Allah and His Messenger more than anything besides them. And here he said, it is not sufficient just to have love, yani just to love Allah and His Messenger. بَلْ لَا بُدَّ أَن تَكُونَ مَحَبُّتُ اللَّهِ مُقَدِّمَةً عَلَى جَمِيلِ الْمَحَابِ. Yani it is not enough just to love Allah and His Messenger, but loving Allah and His Messenger have to have precedence over loving everything else that is loved. It is required to love Allah and His Messenger more than everything else, not just to love Allah and His Messenger. Inshallah, every believer loves Allah and His Messenger, but to love Allah and His Messenger more than everything else, this is from the qualities of the one who has tasted the sweetness of al-Iman. Then the Shaykh says, then after mentioning the foundation of Iman, loving Allah and His Messenger, then he mentioned the branches of it. And that is, loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. Yani loving for Allah's sake and hating for Allah's sake. So that person loves the prophets, and he loves the siddiqeen, and he loves the shuhada, the martyrs, and he loves the salihin, the righteous, because they have fulfilled that which is loved by Allah. Yani loving them because they are doing what Allah loves. That is loving for the sake of Allah. Loving those who Allah loves. Loving those who do that with and singling them out from amongst the rest of the creatures. Yani loving those who Allah loves and singling them out, giving them exclusive preference over the rest of Allah's servants. Then he mentioned that which contradicts and negates it. Yani that which contradicts and negates it, iman. And that is hating to go back from his deen, hating to return, to revert from his deen, the greatest hatred. And that is considered to be greater than hating to be thrown in the fire. And he said here, then he mentioned that which negates it, and it is the hating, yani something more than you hate to be thrown in the fire. That is hating to turn back from your deen, or hating to go back into kufr. So the Prophet ﷺ has informed us in this hadith that al-Iman has halawa. It has a sweetness in the heart. And the servant, if he finds that sweetness, then it will console him and comfort him. It will yani alleviate all of his worries and cause him to forget any worries that he had. If he tastes the sweetness, it will console him completely. It will make him to forget about the things that are loved in this world and the inner objectives or goals that he has within himself. It will make him forget all of this, and it will necessitate that he has the good life, al-hayat al-tayyibah. For indeed, if anyone loves Allah and His Messenger, then he will continue and engage much in the remembrance of Allah naturally. For indeed, whoever loves something, then he remembers it much. So whoever loves Allah, they should be remembering Allah much. And likewise, whoever loves Allah and His Messenger, then he will strive in following the Messenger, and adhering to what? To the guidance that he has given in his example and in his teachings. And he will give preference to following him over following every other opinion, every statement that anyone has made, and even over following his own desires and his own goals and objectives. And whoever loves Allah, he will reach and he will strive to follow the Prophet ﷺ in everything and give preference to him over everyone. So whoever, this was their situation, then he will have a tranquil soul. His soul will be at, himself will be at peace. And he will have find delight and he will find sweetness in obedience to Allah. And he will enjoy worshipping Allah. He will enjoy Salat. And he will enjoy Siyam. And he will enjoy reading the Quran. He will find its sweetness in it. It will be pleasant to him. He will not find difficulty and hardship in it. And he finds some aversion towards it. That is the one who have fulfilled these characteristics. And he will find delight in obedience to Allah. And his heart would be open towards Islam. And he will be upon a light from Allah. Ya'ani al-Iman. Zakallah. Then the Shaykh says, and many of the believers do not reach this high level. Many of the believers will not reach this high level. And he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 132, وَلِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. And everyone will have darajat, degrees or levels, based on what they have done, based on their action. And not everyone will achieve the same level. It will be based on one's actions. Here, there is a comment related to this point, and it is that in this hadith, these three characteristics have been singled out. Because these things will not be found except in the one whose heart is enlightened by the light of Iman and Yaqeen. And that person who has been shown the beauty of these matters, the beauty of loving Allah and His Messenger, and the beauty of loving for the sake of Allah, and the hatred of going back to kufr after Iman. It will only be for the one who has seen this. This is what will cause that person to have this mahabbah, this love, is the condition of those who know Allah and who know the Prophet and who understand the deen. As for the statement of the Prophet, وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. We will close with this point. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, in his explanation of Sahih Muslim Al-Mufham, he says concerning this hadith, a long discussion, but from amongst the points that he made on this hadith, he said, rahimahullah, that this hadith has given us a benefit. And that is, that loving the believer, the loving of a believer, loving a believer, loving your brother who is a believer, a mu'min, that love of the believer, which leads to the sweetness of Iman, which entitles someone to experience the sweetness of Iman, he said, it is of necessity that that love for the believer be purely for the sake of Allah alone. It must be purely for the sake of Allah alone. And it should not be mixed or polluted with any worldly objectives or human, or the seeking some portion or share from the human beings. For indeed, whoever loves somebody for that, for some worldly objective, then that love will be cut off as soon as he achieves his worldly objective. As soon as he gets what he wants, he will not love that person anymore. Or when he loses hope of achieving that thing, then his love for that one will be cut off because he loves him for that thing. So when he gets it, that will be the end of his love. Or when he realizes that he will not get it, that will be the end of his love. However, the love of the believer, the one that leads to the sweetness of Iman, it is a requirement of the believer that should be done continually and constantly. If a person achieves some objective or not, it doesn't matter. He said, however, when we find that the love mostly, in most cases, it is for some worldly gain or some other benefit. When we find that the love that people have for one another, it is mostly for some worldly benefit, then we find little or few are those who find the sweetness of Iman. Few are those who find the sweetness of Iman. Because few are those who love purely for the sake of Allah. Indeed, he said, not only few, perhaps it is non-existent. Especially in these times in which the traces of Iman is almost gone. And if that was in the time of Al-Qurtubi, what about today? He said, in that time, the traces of Iman is almost gone. What about for us today? He said, in summary, the love of the believers, it is from the ibadat or the acts of worship which require of necessity al-ikhlas. Al-ikhlas, sincerity in the goodness of their intentions. Yani, the love of the believers, that is an ibadah that leads to the sweetness of Iman, it requires al-ikhlas, sincerity and good intentions, yani that it is purely for the sake of Allah alone. Quickly, can you open the window to see if the adhan is called? Inshallah, look at, we'll stop here and look at the questions with the handout, and then if there are any questions or comments or corrections, we'll take them after the questions from the handout. The first question, list 7 sifat of the mu'min from Surah Al-Mu'mineen, yani chapter, Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 1 to 11. And these, what is mentioned in this chapter is primarily that they have al-khushu' in their salat, and that they turn away from al-lahu, yani those things which are useless and have no benefit, whether in speech or actions, and that they give charity in the way of Allah, and that they guard their modesty, and that they fulfill the trust that are given to them, and that they keep the contracts or covenants that they make with others, and that they protect or guard their salat, meaning the performance of the salat in this time, and the parts of the salat, the ruku or the sujood, and so on. The second question, explain how the author used these verses as a shahid or a witness to the definition of al-Iman held by the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Yani the Shaykh has said that Allah has defined al-Iman in these verses by the mention of these characteristics. And he said that those who have them, then they are the successful believers. And then he described them with that which shows that it includes the khushu'at. And it includes the performance of prayer and the giving of zakat and the avoiding of that which is haram. So whoever fulfills these characteristics of fulfilling the obligatory things and avoiding the prohibited things and having yani the purity of the heart and the fear of Allah and the khushu' and the salat, then this is the true believer. This includes yani the inward as well as the outward actions yani and avoiding the prohibited things. And these ayats are very clear that in proving that Iman includes the belief in the heart as well as the inner as well as outer actions. And also that Iman increases and decreases with the increase and decrease of the parts of Iman. Question number 3 mentioned the 3 darajat, degrees of excellence or superiority of the mu'minun. The first of them is the sabiqun, muqarrabun, and those who fulfill the obligatory as well as the commendable deeds and avoid the prohibited as well as the detestable deeds, as well as avoiding excess in that which is allowed. The muqtasidun, that is those who fulfill the obligatory deeds and avoid the prohibited things and stop at that. And the zalimun, the anfusihim, those who wrong their own souls, they are those who do not fulfill some of the obligatory actions and who engage in some of the prohibited things. Question number 4, what is the dalil or evidence for this division of Ahlul Iman, yani the people of Iman in these degrees? It is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatir, chapter 35, verse 32, which mentions specifically Zalimun li nafsi wa muqtasidun wa sabiqun bil khayrat bi idhnillah. Question number 5, what could explain Allah's mentioning of Iman and Amal al-Salih, Iman and good deeds, as though they are two separate things, while in fact Amal al-Salih is a component part of al-Iman? The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, said that sometimes Allah joins al-Iman with other things by the conjunction wow, such as righteous deeds or taqwa or sabr, because of the need to mention that thing so that no one will imagine that they can suffice with the Iman that is in the heart without the righteous deeds or taqwa and so on. Question number 6, give an example which shows the use of the conjunction wow between something mentioned in general and then a component part of it being mentioned after it, and is the ayat that we mentioned from Kitab al-Iman al-Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, chapter 2, verse 98, related to that is adhan. But inshallah, stop for the adhan and then complete the questions and take any comments that the brothers or sisters have. Question number 6 that we began to answer, yani from amongst the examples of such is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, من كان عدوا لله وملائكته ورسله وجبريل وميكال, yani whoever is the enemy of Allah and His angels and His messengers and Jibreel and Mikael, then Allah is the enemy of them. Yani in the other examples that we have given have been mentioned. Question number 7 mentioned Talq ibn Hadid's definition rahimahullah of taqwa. He said that the definition of taqwa is to do an act of obedience to Allah based on a light from Allah, meaning iman, and hoping for the reward of Allah, and to avoid disobedience to Allah based upon a light from Allah, fearing the punishment of Allah, and to engage in that which is of obedience and to avoid that which is disobedience based on iman, hoping for Allah's reward and fearing His punishment. Question number 8 mentioned an ayah which shows that love of iman must necessarily be accompanied by hatred of kufr, disbelief, and fusuq, wickedness, and isyan, disobedience. Yani that it is not sufficient that a person love iman, but they must also hate kufr and that which is opposed to it. And that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 47, verses 7 and 8. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ بِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. That what Allah has made beloved to you, the iman, and He has made it beautified in your hearts, and He has made hatred to you, kufr, fusuq, isyan, and these, and whom Allah has given this love and hatred for, these are those who are the rightly guided. Question number 9, who are the 3 who have tasted halawatul iman, the sweetness of faith? Is from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet said that there are 3 characteristics. Whoever possessed them, then he will have tasted the sweetness of iman, that is loving Allah and His Messenger more than anything or anyone besides them, and loving a believer, a Muslim, loving someone from amongst, not loving them for any reason except for the sake of Allah. And number 3, hating to turn back from your deen or to return to kufr after Allah has saved you from it, just as you hate being thrown into the fire. And the last question, what has Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah offered as being the reason for the qillah, for the rarity of those who experience halawat al-Iman, the sweetness of faith today in his time, and especially even more so today? He said that from this hadith it is clear that the love of the believer that leads to the sweetness of iman, it is a love that cannot be mixed or polluted with any other objective, worldly objective or goal, but it should be purely for the sake of Allah. And when we find that most of the love between people today is for some other objective, then we find that those who have achieved the sweetness of iman are few or non-existent. Allahu a'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Any questions or comments or corrections, we can take a couple of questions, maybe for 5 minutes, inshallah. Now, who are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Well, the basic definition of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is comprised of 2 parts. The Ahl Sunnah, the people who adhere to, who strictly adhere to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And here Sunnah, it means the general meaning of Sunnah, the way of the Prophet. Doesn't mean only those things which are commendable. It means whatever he did. Whoever adheres to the way of the Prophet in his actions and in his manners and morals, as well as in his aqidah, his belief. These are the Ahl Sunnah. And the Jama'ah means those people who stick together, who do not separate into sects based on deviations from the way of the Prophet ﷺ, but the people who remain together based on the correct manhaj of Islam and the way of the Prophet ﷺ, and who do not oppose the legitimate rulers from the Muslims. They don't fight against them, but they stay together as one Jama'ah and they don't break the brotherhood of Islam. Now, Surah Al-Hujurat 49, Jazakallah khair, now, sahih. Surah Al-Hujurat, the verse from Surah Al-Hujurat is chapter 49. Any other question or comment? No. Then we'll stop here, inshallah.